This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Pretty busy here tonight, maybe because Joa has been promoting calling in on his channel, which is Breaking the Flaw on both YouTube and Odyssey. You can check him out there. He does First Amendment audits. And we're going to continue with more of your calls and thoughts if we get the chance. Joa, you want to talk about the Russia situation in a little while. Also, Jay's got 16 reasons why every kid should have a farm animal of some sort. Horses, pigs, That kind of thing.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that if we can. But we're going to your phone calls first. In fact, we got Carlos on the line to start things out here. He himself is a First Amendment auditor. And Carlos, you called in a couple weeks back when Joe was on. You have a channel called For the Record, which I did check out some of your stuff after the show, and I enjoyed the whole brown bag thing where it seems like wherever you go, you've got like a brown bag with root beer or something inside of it, and just trolling people.
It's can I quickly comment on that?
Yeah, sure.
So I went to City Council at Manchester a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I did the same thing.
Really? How'd it go?
Well, the chief was sitting right behind me, always kind of looking at what I was drinking.
Did he say anything?
I even did it out on the sidewalk in front of two foot cops. I didn't do anything.
They didn't say anything, though. Huh?
They knew it was up.
All right. But yeah, it's pretty entertaining. So what's on your mind tonight, Carlos?
Well, I was just thinking about all the countries getting the block countries getting together, you know, and investing in gold and how, you know, how that's going to tear up the dollar how much longer are they going to hold up the fraud, you know?
Well, they're going to keep it going as long as they can. Yeah. I mean,
as long as people have faith in the dollar, it will remain with some power as long as there's faith behind it. So once people, you know, start trading outside of dollars, when it's really going to fall apart. And
we're seeing that happen.
We are. So
It's down into like the 40th percentile. I think it was like 42-45% of like global trade, I think, was done in the dollar. And it's down from like in the 50s just a couple of years ago.
And what I really think people need to do to prepare for the coming central digital bank currency, CBDCs, is what I've basically been doing my entire life. And that is barter and trade and going around. I can't get a bank account. So, and basically until Bitcoin came along, it was about impossible for me to do, you know, online transactions. I would have to, you know, go buy like a prepaid debit card or something. I've used those. But even those now, like half of them want like some kind of social security number or tax identification number or one of these things. And So I don't have a social security number. I'm not a federal, you know, 14th Amendment United States citizen. I don't participate in any of that stuff. But so my personal favorite currency is meat because I produce meat. So I paid for a massage a couple weeks ago with meat. I pay guys to come help me, you know, split firewood and work for me in meat. I've been able to trade. I sold a guy a half a pig, and it was about $500. And I'm like, hey, you want to just pay my I had him pay my electric bill, you know, just and he's like, oh yeah, I could just put that right on a card. So like, worked out good for him, worked out good for me. But just doing the alternative economy, practicing trading in alternatives, practicing barter with either gold backs, silver, services. And the currency you should try to export is what you produce. The problem is very few people produce anything.
Well, the word currency, I don't think really applies there because there's certain things you have to be able to meet before it's a currency. I mean, it's certainly a barter item. It's certainly something that you're able to trade with. It's fairly liquid in that
lots of people want meat. So, I mean, right. that makes, I think that's probably a better description of it. One of the reasons why it wouldn't really qualify as a currency is because it goes bad over time. And generally, you don't want a currency that's, it's got a shelf life on
it. But, like, if you're like an electrician and you can trade a plumber for his service or a carpenter for his service or...
Sure, it's off the
books. You know, maybe you can trade the babysitter, you know, some whatever. So whatever your skill is, if you can sort of monetize that in a way that you're not, you know, because if a guy pays you like $100 an hour to be an electrician or whatever their rate is, and then you got to pay, you know, like a third of that in taxes, essentially, mm-hmm. you've sort of lost. But if, like, you can, like, actually, I had a guy do a bunch of electrical work for me last summer, and I traded him a whole bunch of meat, for example. So I didn't have to give him any money. He didn't have to, you know, report it to the government because I didn't give him any money. And he didn't have to take a one-third loss on his earnings and then, you know, take that two-thirds of that money and try to go buy food with it. He basically got 100%, you know, for his wealth. But we really need to practice trading with our neighbors. We need to get to know who our neighbors are. That's really going to be important too, because we're going to need to really lean on each other when they start forcing us to try to trade in these central bank digital currencies. That might be the only way you're able to pay your electric bill. That might be the only way you're able to pay taxes at some point.
Go ahead, Carlos.
You got the gold backs. Breaking the Plow uses gold backs, right?
Yes, I do. I think we all use gold backs here. I actually just paid 3 gold backs to a friend of mine who bought lunch today. So
nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a local taco place that takes gold backs.
I was just there on Tuesday. We had a meeting there, and I paid them in gold backs for my meal. So, yeah, I gotta love the gold backs. If people haven't checked those out yet, go to goldback.com. I understand that they're doing, like, a retooling of the graphics.
Yes, they're crisper. Like, they're better designed. They've been revamped.
Yeah,
they look a lot better.
I'm
they
very
really
excited
do.
To see yeah. to see the New Hampshire version, which I guess just come out, but they haven't even made an article about it yet, so I don't even know what the changes are. But, Carlos, since you brought it up, I did have a story here tonight. This is like a big story today regarding the bank failures that have been going on here in the United States, which we have been covering here on Free Talk Live. Of course, it was First Republic Bank that went down late last week. There are now more banks that are taking it on the chin this week. They haven't gone under completely yet. But one example is this Western Alliance Bank Corporation, which was down 38% today.
It's tanked.
Another one was, I think, called PacWest, which also has been tanking, down 50% today.
Yikes,
so, I mean, these things are almost dead at this point. But
how much bigger are they, though, comparative to last week?
They're smaller than First Republic, but they're, you know.
But that's the trickle effect.
They're no slouches. I mean, these are big. They're definitely big regional banks.
Yeah.
But
Saudi Arabia wanting to turn down the dollar, too.
Yeah, there's talk about that. There's definitely talk about that. Saudi Arabia has been talking with China about potentially taking the yuan. But what that's not a done deal yet from what I understand. But what is a done deal is China is now trading with Brazil, which is the largest South American economy. They're trading in the yuan and the Brazilian real. Argentina just announced that they're going to be trading in the yuan with China, and that's the second largest economy in South America. So one by one, bit by bit, they're whittling away at the dollar's dominance. But here's the news that I wanted to share with you, Carlos, from Gallup, which is a major polling organization. They finally asked Americans what they think about the banking crisis, because you know, we're not seeing lines outside the banks quite yet. It hasn't hit bank panic
not quite.
Levels.
Silicon Bank had that a little bit, but not much.
But not right now. We're not seeing it at every bank here in town. But they say here that 48% of U.S. adults say they are concerned about their money in banks, including 19% who are, quote, very worried, and 29% who are moderately worried about the, quote, safety of money you have deposited in banks and other financial institutions. So almost half of Americans are either very or moderately worried about their money in banks. And that shows a level of awareness that I'm a little bit surprised to see, and I'm happy that people are aware that something's happening out there.
I would think the other 52% probably don't even have any money to put in the bank.
Could be.
You know, like something like more than half of Americans don't even have like $1,000.
That's right.
Like, or even $400 in their bank account until payday. Right? I believe it was $400 was the number.
Check.
Right. I think the last numbers I saw were around 60%. It kind of fluctuates between like 50 and 65% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you probably don't have $20 in the bank, you know?
Yeah.
Carlos, anything else you want to share tonight?
That was about it, man.
Thank you so much, Carlos.
Thanks
for
the call. I appreciate hearing from you there. Let's continue. We got John in Portland, Texas. John, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
What's on your mind, John?
Good yourself?
Well, first of all, I'm not a troll. Second of all, I didn't have a topic tonight because I wasn't interested in winning the gold. I wanted to give back a little bit.
Okay.
You see, I've been watching auditors for a while now. The first one I really started watching was San Joaquin Valley Transparency.
Yep.
He's like the grandfather of all this stuff.
Okay.
There's a couple of dozen auditors that if you ask them, does the moniker Neanderthal I Am ever show up with positive comments in your feeds? I bet you a couple of dozen would say yeah.
Is that your username?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my username and pretty much self-described Neanderthal I Am.
Okay.
I'm pretty proud of that fact. The thing is, a few weeks back, y'all had a gold giveaway. I managed to sneak in on the phone lines three times. John from Portland, that was me. It was fun. I had a good time. I wasn't interested in winning the gold tonight. I'm lucky enough to live in Portland, Texas. It's pretty much beautiful here year-round. A couple of nights ago, I was on Direct D's page, and he was doing this little video about what he was doing when he wasn't being a First Amendment auditor. It was him and a guy going out into the desert. It was a little connection, human story, you know.
Yeah.
It was actually something about him, not just him doing what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And convention would be the right word. Here lately, I've been noticing, I heard him call frauditor. There's a couple of frauditor trolls leaving negative comments on threads. I prefer to just call them bootlickers and threaten them. But
so you haven't really said it clearly here, John, but it sounded to me like when I answered your call off the air that you wanted to talk about a convention. You mentioned the word here.
There's all these guys around the country. They're all doing their thing. Police get together and have a convention every year. Doctors get together and have a convention every year. Politicians get together and have a convention every year.
So do free
staters. They get together and they talk about plans and what they're doing and upcoming events. And
well, I've been sharing an event that every auditor should be at. And I'm trying to get James Freeman's on the hook right now to go to it.
Porcupine Freedom Festival?
Porcupine Freedom Festival, Pork Fest. Okay.
Still a couple hundred tickets left.
And that's and San Joaquin Valley Transparency, yeah, he's a bit of an OG, but he is not quite as OG as some of the people that go to Porkfest, as in the cop block.
Mm-hmm.
The cop blockers, like Pete Ayer and Adimo Freeman. These are guys are the OGs, and a few other ones like, you know, JP and a few other people. Those guys all go to Porkfest. And I want to see more auditors at Porkfest, more cop watchers.
Well, that's certainly a way to do it on the quick and on the cheap. You don't have to do your own convention organizing. You can just select a site and then create a First Amendment auditor hub or whatever.
Do panel chats.
Discussions and things like that there.
Yeah, the convention sounds cool, of having it at a hotel and that sort of thing, but like you guys should just go to Porkfest. We can do it there. There's plenty of space.
I wasn't going to ask anybody to spend money on a hotel. I was going to put them up poolside in my backyard.
We could do that, sweet, too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. You know, another kind of cool thing about
it. Question for you.
Go ahead.
What is this Pork Fest you're talking about? I never heard about it before.
Yeah, Pork Fest, Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's made up of people who love liberty. Basically, you know, don't steal and don't hurt people.
It's a libertarian camping festival here in New Hampshire. It's coming up on, I believe, year number 20 this year. So it's been going on for quite a long time.
Well, let's not just lump all just libertarians. It's
voluntarists, anarchists.
Well, it's thrown by the Free State Project, and their goal is to get liberty-minded people to move to New Hampshire. Right.
To get involved in government and reduce government to its maximum authority as protection of life, liberty, and property is what their mission statement historically been. And I can tell you, Porkfest, if you are a First Amendment auditor, you probably have a love for freedom. Porkfest is a place where you go where you will see people of all different makes, shapes, sizes, families, little kids. I mean, I've been going there with my kids when they were just a few months old. And there's several generations of families go there. A whole bunch of people are open carrying. There isn't really many issues, and it's pretty much you could do whatever you want as long as you're not injuring anybody or hurting anybody. And like I vend meat that I raise for my own animals. I also do a thing called Man Camp where I couple times at Porkfest, trying to do it again this year. But Porkfest, you will quite likely have a little bit of depression when you go back home after Porkfest because it is just such an awesome thing. Before I lived in New Hampshire and I was going to Porkfest, like I was definitely had to have like a mental adjustment when I went back to Massachusetts because it was just kind of sad because Porkfest is just so amazing.
Yeah,
of what's going on there, the freedom, the vendors, the people, the talks. I guess porkfest.org is their website or .com. Yeah. And there's probably
P-O-R-C.
A schedule.
Actually, I highly suggest just go on YouTube and type in Porkfest with a C.
There's tons of video.
And you're going to see what it's all about.
Yeah, that's true. Lots of the on-stage stuff and lots of just people walking through the park so you can kind of get a feel for what that's like.
But people make guns. People sell moonshine. Some people do drugs. Some people, there's a whole nudist section. And I don't, recommend it for everybody. But if that's where you want to go, you can go over there and do some naked Olympics.
Yeah, I heard about that too.
There's all kinds of things. I mean, that's just, unique things that I'm mentioning, but there's so much more to it.
Yeah, it's true. I recommend it as well. And there's also, of course, Forkfest, which is happening the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And you don't have to buy a ticket to go to Forkfest.
Right.
You just show up and hang out with other liberty-minded people. John, anything else you want to share?
Nope. Just have a good night, guys.
Thanks thank you very much. Guys, go check out For the Record on YouTube.
Oh, is that his?
Was that him? No, wait, that was Carlos.
That was the New Mexico guy. Yeah.
Oh, For the Record. I forget. This is Neanderthal. He's Neanderthal.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. I got numbers here, Joe, so when you pick your winner, we'll know who they were. Let's continue here. We got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Jay, Brother Joe. Good evening.
You as well.
By the way, the phone number here is 603-283-6160. Go ahead, Ricky.
Well, I wanted to talk to Brother Joe, and I got 3 points of interest I wanted to talk to him about concerning what this Josh guy was discussing with him, if I may.
Sure.
Brother Joe.
He's right here, man. Go ahead.
I'm here.
All right, here's the first one. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about fair use and what this guy was saying. Now, when it comes to fair use, I have a good understanding of it. See, whether it be a book or, say, a television broadcast, or in this case, a YouTube video. Here's how it goes. You can't take a video or anything like that, in the case of fair use, and use it and no less edit it for a nefarious purpose. And that includes a TV broadcast.
Yes.
That's the first point I'm looking at. Okay, so we got that one. So much for Josh. Here's point number two. Now, here's the other point he was pumping about you taking videos of people. Now, I want to ask you about this one. Here in the Commonwealth, we have single-party consent. Now, how is that in New Hampshire?
You're talking about for hidden cameras?
Or recording. You're recorded or whatever. We have single-party consent. Otherwise, if you're recorded, they can record them kind of stuff. How is that in New Hampshire?
So it's a two-party consent state. And that's
it's very bad.
There's
it's
a technical
the
line on this. So like you can be it is bad. But you could be.
Sorry.
Let me just finish this so you understand. Right. Is that like even if you're in public and you're in an assumed conversation that is private, you cannot record that. So
what if the guy you're talking to is a public servant?
Well, if they're a public servant on the clock in their capacity as a public servant, you have all and every right to record them. I don't give a damn. But they have to be in public. They can't be in a private area. But if it's court clerk and they're behind the window, that is okay because it's a public area. They're projecting into the public.
Mm-hmm.
But if I try to, if I have an amplified like sort of device trying to capture a conversation from a public area into private, that's not okay.
Yeah, you know, that's a shame because, like here in PA with single party, if it's like in the case of recording, they got to hang up. Or like videoing them, they have to walk away. And other people, whatever, you know, it's a shame. Yeah. Okay, well, here's the third point. See, I want to say it like this. Now, when it comes to the First and Second Amendment, I basically ignore them. And here's why. Because people forget that the U.S. Constitution has to work with all 50 first, not the other way. See, in my case, when it comes to, say, freedom of speech, I use our Section 7, which is as brutal and all-encompassing as our Section 21. So I don't know how that.
You're referring to the Pennsylvania Constitution.
Correct.
Are those the sections about freedom of speech?
Yeah, that's our Section 7.
Okay.
I can't remember all of it, but it starts out with the printing press shall be free, and then it goes on to the people. And it's as all-encompassing as our Section 21. Now, I'm wondering, how is that in New Hampshire, your freedom of speech, and your Article 1?
Well, they're not. It's not Article 1 here. In fact, I just happened to hear it talked about today. I think it was 22, if I recall correctly, in the New Hampshire Bill of Rights, specifically to free speech. It's pretty solid. The New Hampshire Constitution is really good on basic rights like freedom of religion, freedom of speech. It's just the problem is the wiretapping statutes here suck, and it's one of the worst. It's actually one of the worst parts about New Hampshire's system is we are literally one of the worst two or three states when it comes to so-called wiretapping restrictions.
Right. Well, here's why I'm saying this with this guy. Because he talks a big game. But see, here's the thing. He's not only talking about the, quote, First Amendment. He's pumping that, all this national stuff, all these other things.
Which guy?
Way off base.
Which guy? You talking about the caller earlier?
Josh, okay. Yeah. And he's talking about all this national stuff. And here's the way I'm looking at it. You know, this guy's a statist. And he sounds like a statist. And not only that, he's the one that's the hypocrite when you look at the fair use and the statist stuff. And if you don't like that, he can address that with Ricky from the Commonwealth on this show if he likes.
All right, Ricky, you know? Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you.
I tell you this, if he posts like his video, my videos onto another platform and I don't know about it, did I really own it? But when it's on YouTube, YouTube tells me when there's copyright strikes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they tell you that, hey, you're being copyrighted. So they're the ones suggesting to me to get it removed.
Wow.
So it's not like I'm taking the steps to find these videos. No, YouTube is suggesting these things to me.
The freedom of the press provision in the Pennsylvania Constitution is much more wordy than the New Hampshire one. The New Hampshire one's very simple. It just says free speech and liberty of the press are essential to the security of freedom in a state. They ought, therefore, to be inviolably preserved. Very simple. Pennsylvania, bit of a mouthful here. The printing press shall be free to every person who may undertake to examine the proceedings of the legislature or branch of the government, and no law shall ever be made to restrain the right thereof. The free communication of thoughts and opinions is one of the invaluable rights of man, and every citizen may freely speak, write, and print on any subject, being responsible for the abuse of that liberty. No conviction shall be had in any prosecution for the publication of papers relating to the official conduct of officers or men. And it goes on. There's like three more sentences. There's more coming up here, though. You can share your thoughts. This is Free Talk Live.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
You USA News Update. Four more are headed to prison for their role in the 2021 U.S. Capitol riot. Four Proud Boy members, Attorney General Merrick Garland.
We have secured the convictions of defendants who fought, punched, tackled, and even tased police officers who were defending the Capitol that day.
Garland said the evidence detailed the extent of the central role the defendants played in setting the riot into motion. Ed Sheeran has been found not liable in the copyright infringement case.
And it looks like I'm not having to retire from my day job after all.
Sheeran was accused of stealing components of Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On song for his 2014 hit, Thinking Out Loud. He told reporters today he's just a guy who loves writing music for people to enjoy. Fox says it settled its Dominion voting system defamation lawsuit for close to $800 million to buy peace. Dave Collins, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. TNJ and Joa here in the studio tonight. Joa is the auditor, the First Amendment auditor behind Breaking the Flaw. That's his channel over on YouTube and Odyssey. And if you want to join us on the air, you can. I brought up during one of our callers in the last segment this poll that was conducted by Gallup between April 3rd and 25th, which is the month after Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank collapsed. So by the time the poll was completed, according to Gallup here, First Republic had not yet failed. So 48% before last week's mega failure. First Republic Bank, by the way, the most recent bank to fail, is bigger than Silicon Valley, or was bigger than Silicon Valley. So First Republic Bank is the second largest bank in the United States to fail in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. And according to a chart here from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, actually the New York Times put this chart together, after First Republic Bank has failed, so just including the three most recent bank failures, First Republic, Silicon Valley, and Signature Bank, those three banks alone, and there may be more to come.
Oh, they will be.
Those three banks alone were worth more than the 25 banks that crumbled in 2008.
Correct.
So basically any banks that have commercial real estate as a large part of their portfolio are in serious trouble. Commercial real estate is crashing really hard.
Yep.
You know, you got it all started with the COVID stuff. Well, it all started long before the COVID stuff. It was about to crash anyways. It's been a big bubble. But the fact that, you know, there's everybody can work from home now. It's more efficient. You have all these office buildings that are like 50% capacity in a whole bunch of these major cities. You got where a bunch of these big buildings that are worth like that were, you know, valued at hundreds of millions of dollars are going to be fire sailed pretty soon. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And if you got more money than you need to pay bills for like the next couple of weeks in the bank account, I think that's very, very foolish. I think if you have most of your wealth just backed up in fiat currency, you know, stocks, bonds, whatever, any of this stuff, all that stuff, as soon as, you know, the USD goes, you know, it's just basically wholesale rejected by most of the world, we're going to be in the same exact position that Russia was in when Russia collapsed back, you know, not the last time it collapsed, but the time before when the world basically rejected the Russian ruble. What was that, back in the 50s or something? I can't remember exactly.
I don't know.
But there was, you know, Russia built this big empire and then basically collapsed. And the U.S. is in a sort of a same situation. We have this military budget that, like, exceeds, like, the next 10 countries' military budgets put together or some crazy number like that. You know, the only reason that the United States has been able to build such a military is because they've had a printing press that, you know, the U.S. military has been forcing, you know, the whole world to accept this, these dollars just created out of thin air.
Well, something that has happened recently is the amount of debt, or rather the interest payments on the debt, because we know the debt amount is like $31 trillion and growing, right, in the United States. But the thing is, the federal government has to pay the Federal Reserve interest on that debt. And those interest payments are now higher than the military budget.
Yikes.
So we know the military budget's big. It's over $700 billion in the most recent proposal. But now interest payments on just the national debt are over $900 billion.
And, you know, so
in 1 year.
So this money comes from that pays off this interest is literally coming from, like, you know,
income taxes
that, you know, U.S. citizen slaves, because you're a slave if you pay income tax, that's the bottom line, that U.S. citizen slaves have paid. Basically, went to pay off interest on World War One debt. That is what's going on here. And the thing is who's this interest owed to? Why can't we tell the Federal Reserve to just go to hell and just not pay them? I think that's perfectly acceptable for the United States to totally default on its debt, as it has several times now. It did it.
But then they'll upset all their banker friends.
Oh, well.
Good. I mean,
they're beholden to them.
You know, hangthebankers.com used to be a website that talked about financial stuff. Yeah, a friend of mine's got I just saw it actually the other day. He's got a coffee mug, and it shows like a stick figure, like hangman thing, and it's a guy wearing a like, stick figure as a suit and a tie, and it says hangthebankers.com. And
I don't think violence is going to solve the problems, but I understand why people are upset.
Well, bankers are extracting the wealth. They're the reason we have war.
Well, the good news is you can opt out. You don't have to hang the bankers. You can just take the value that you've created in life that you put in a bank, and you can take it and put it into something else.
Yeah, I highly recommend everyone that's listening right now, go to the bank, take your money out, convert it into gold, silver, crypto, whatever.
Gold and silver, the safest route, I think. Historically,
it is, yeah.
Look, I'm not a financial advisor, but if it were me, that's what I would do. I would get some gold and silver. I would also get some cryptocurrency. And remember, there's more risk involved in cryptocurrency.
Sure.
The upside potential is larger, I think, than gold and silver, but it can also go down and that kind of freaks
people
out.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be.
So if you don't want to get freaked out by the ups and downs, then gold and silver.
Well, look, if everyone pulls their money out of the banks all at once, then cryptocurrency cannot go down.
If you really odds are very slim that crypto would go down.
So theoretically, it's just better strategy to just take your money out of the banks.
But I do like the idea of pulling money out of the banks. I think that's a fine idea. You can also put some into real estate. You know, there's always some other things you can put in. Invest in your
hard asset. Anything that can be bartered or traded.
And another thing, too, for an asset that people overlook and rarely talk about is your personal skill set, what you have for skills. So, you know, people that are listening to me right now that have children, especially young children, children of any age, if you have dollars in the bank and somehow investing those dollars into your own kids, whether it's, having someone teach them the skill, or you taking the time and teaching them the skill, or getting them chickens so they can, you know, learn how to deal with chickens. We just hatched a dozen chickens in our house. They all hatched the past couple of days. Part of one of our homeschool programs. We got a bunch of kids that come over once a week from Manchester, basically. And they got to learn all about how chickens are, you know, essentially hatched and born. And, you know, but skills, and with the younger kids are, that you can get them into a skill, and that takes some investment on the part of the parents, time, energy, whether you hire someone to teach them the skills or whatever. But any skill that has to do with doing constructive, productive things, such as raising your own food, I really think is, you know, the simplest, best one to do. Skills are going to be extremely valuable in any volatile time. Mm-hmm. And so if you have skills and your community likes you, you're seen as an asset, you're seen as someone with value, you're going to be okay. And you're going to do just fine, you know, as long as you're willing to have a little ambition and a little motivation. But skills are a tremendous asset to have during any time. Even if nothing happens, those skills will do nothing but benefit you, and they're worth investing in.
Huh. I agree.
I'm just looking at more of these numbers here, guys, from this Gallup survey. When they actually break it down by demographics, interestingly, Republicans and independents are more likely to be worried about their safety of their money in banks than Democrats are. So Democrats apparently are trusting in the banking system by comparison to the Republicans.
Well, who are the Democrats? So 99% of the public school teachers, of the public school teacher union employees, donate to Democrat campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Not every registered Democrat donates. I mean, I'm technically a registered Republican. I've never donated to anybody. Well, that's not true. I donated to Ron Paul years ago, but recently I haven't. But basically, most of the parasite class in America, whether it's, you know, school teachers, and yes, public school teachers are parasites, even if they're there doing a good job and they mean well, a private school teacher would not be considered a parasite class because it's private money, not taxpayer dollars. But all of these people who have faith in the government and trust in the government that, you know, are you know, just think that, you know, Pedo Biden is like, okay, they're fine with a Biden, you know, crime family running the show. And they, I can see why they have faith in the bank, because they're people that have lost their logic and reasoning and basically don't have any wisdom, best I can tell.
But it actually, according to, I guess they've been asking this question for a while. So actually it's just pure partisanship. So if you go back to 2008 in September, before Bush was out of office, the numbers reverse. So in September of 2008, 34% of Republicans were very or moderately worried about the safety of their money in banks. And 55% of Democrats were very or moderately worried about the safety of their money in banks. This is September of 2008. Independents, 44%. Fast forward to today, it's 55% of Republicans, the same percentage of Republicans, is worried about their money in the bank today, and 36% of Democrats, so almost the same number of what was Republicans in 2008, are now on the Democrat side. So it's just
but they want to continue, you know, putting Trump in, the same people.
They probably think Trump will somehow stop the banking crisis.
He started this crisis again.
So this shows you how stupid the average American essentially is. And they really are just essentially algorithmic slaves, as far as I'm concerned. And this has been going on, you know, for a long time. So I bet you the same unelected bureaucrats are controlling the financial system basically today that were in 2008.
Good chance.
Very good. I mean, look at Dr. Fauci.
Oh, yeah. They never got rid of any of these guys.
He's been the same swamp monster for, what, 30 years?
30, 40 years.
You know, and, you know, so I'm sure that, you know, the Democrats were complaining about Fauci when there was Republicans in the office, and then Republicans were complaining about Fauci when there's Democrats in the office. And it's kind of like NPR used to, years ago, not anymore, but years ago, I used to think that NPR was, like, pretty accurate about the Republicans whenever there was a Republican in office. And, you know, and then they were, you know, but they're always very, you know, biased, you know, yep. towards you know, in a positive manner towards the Democrats. And but now, I mean, just that right there goes to show you whoever's. And who are they getting these polls from? I don't know where Gallup gets his stuff from. Is it like
they're pretty legit? They call people. Yeah. They make calls.
People with landline numbers.
I'd have to go and pull up their methodology. But I mean, Gallup is certainly one of the most legit polling institutions. Another takeaway here: when they actually break down by college degree and no college degree, it's the people with no college degree that are more concerned than those with a college degree. So the college degree people have been completely brainwashed into believing in the system.
They are the best algorithmic slave because if you went to college, that means that you paid attention very well, probably in school, and you were trying to achieve some kind of scholarship or had a goal to get into some kind of college. And, you know, you thought that, and you've been programmed and taught that you go to college, you're going to have this job that's worth, like, you know, X amount of thousands of dollars when you get out of college, and happening.
You have to put faith in the system at that point.
Almost all the college kids have got, you know, $200,000 to $500,000 worth of debt, and they're working at Starbucks or McDonald's when they get out of college.
Yeah, they don't understand. Like, the blue-collar class understands the tax system better than, you know, the ones that actually make it out of college, the ones that start, you know, a career at $150,000 and up once they start getting a job. The blue collar, it took a few years for them to get the $150,000.
And your average college student that goes to school for underwater basket weaving or gender studies or, you know, early childhood development or, you know, whatever this stuff.
Wait, you underestimate underwater basket weaving. That's actually a skill.
Their only, you know, way they're really going to make it is to get a job in a parasite economy. So when you get a job as, like, a school teacher or, you know, I know that, or anywhere in a government, like, you can just become a social worker if you have a degree in art and you get a pay. But let's say you want to move that, you know, that degree in art to something, you know, so you get a master's in, I don't know if there's a master's in art or a doctorate. There probably is. But, like, you know.
It's fine art.
That's how, like, in the public school system, you know, that they structure their deal is, you know, on how many pieces of paper, you know, or letters behind your name that you have is basically what your pay rate is. So even if you're a janitor and you got, like, a, you know, doctorate in engineering, you're going to get paid, you know, that top of the dollar versus the guy who's doing the same exact job who just has a degree in, you know, I don't know, cleaning toilets. And, you know, and so the thing is you basically, if you're going to do the whole college thing, the only way to, you know, to make it is, and this doesn't, I'm not talking about people who are going to college to be doctors and to be, like, you know, chemical engineers or structural engineers or to be veterinarians, because they're putting in hard work, and a lot of those guys will work in the private sector.
And they have to jump through more hoops than pretty much anybody to get these jobs that are, most of the stuff they learn is useless. I'm not saying that wouldn't come up applicable one day, but it just generally they have to tediously grind to, you know, be forced to all this knowledge.
And I also know, like, when you get out of college and now you got to start paying this college debt, there are certain parasite careers you can get for, like, the state, the county, the town, whatever school system.
DMV.
They will defer the college payments, or they will help take on the college payments for you. I don't know what all these programs are. I do know that a lot of people actually specifically go into the military just to get the college either paid off or deferred, because then they realize they've wasted all this time in college and they really don't have a place to go get a career where they're going to get enough money to be able to pay rent and pay the student loan debt.
Which is crushing, by the way.
Right. The kids without the that's one reason so many people don't even want a house in their name. They want to own a house because they're like, oh, I can't own a house. I got $300,000 in student loan debt. They'll put a lien on my house or whatever for it. And, I mean, you're better off. You're so much more valuable to society, to your community, and to your own family having zero debt and no college experience. Because college experience in the workforce today, unless you're going in to work for government, is of no value.
Yeah. And, like, if you're trying to make it on your own and you want to try to avoid all that debt, well, guess what? You're not allowed to have a tiny house. You know, it's
in a lot of cities. Yeah, that's true.
Not even just cities, in the small towns of nowheres. You know, they're you try to go register your not camper, but your tiny house.
It's pretty major pain.
No, we're gonna tax you through the wazoos.
Major Pain's on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Hey guys, yeah, you made me laugh when you brought up underwater basket weaving. that was one of Rush Limbaugh's old taglines.
Okay,
you forgot about left-handed puppetry though. which I believe is a prerequisite if you want to be a politician.
I think being a pedophile is a prerequisite if you're going to get into, like, U.S. Senate or Congress or anything, because they got or any of these higher positions, especially within the federal government. I mean, they go out of their way to protect Epstein and all his clients, and they just hammer on anybody who's going to
already in the club,
who's going to challenge the banking system.
Well, every puppeteer I've ever seen has had his hand up something skirt.
Something skirt.
All right, Major.
Okay, so I got a couple of quickies for you. Have you guys heard that they sentenced four of the five Proud Boys for
yes.
the January 6th debacle?
Yep, including the informant, right? The criminal informant.
I don't know. There's a fifth guy that the jury has been sent back to the box to reconnoiter on some more, but all the four have been convicted of at least one charge of 20 years, you know, sentence. And the second one I heard is, you heard about this crazy guy on the subway in New York here a minute back?
Which one? I'm sure there's way more than one crazy guy in the New York
subway.
Well,
he was homeless and threatening everybody in the car, and some Marine stood up and took him in hand and evidently broke his freaking neck.
Ooh.
Well, the libtard black community is taking this to heart, and they've gone on the inner tube on a tirade. They're claiming that this guy got hung. That's how it was.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, AOC is claiming that this Marine who basically subdued this guy who was going crazy, a homeless dude, who had multiple charges of assault and battery of people.
He had a warrant out for his arrest at the time this happened.
He punched a 67-year-old woman in the face on the subway. So basically a 24-year-old Marine, I believe it is, I haven't heard his name, subdued this guy who was acting violent, threatening people, and he basically...
Has he been charged?
The guy died. I believe the Marine hasn't been charged, but AOC is calling this guy a murderer, and this guy's the victim. You know, he was being attacked. Other people were being attacked, and he subdued this crazy homeless dude. And but this is another reason why you shouldn't be in cities. They're bad places.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Major, thanks for sharing that tonight with us. I appreciate it, man. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
This is Carlos again.
Oh, Carlos. Oh. So we have a one call per night rule. We don't have a whole lot of rules here on Free Talk Live, but that is one of them, and I do appreciate your calling. If you got something else to say, though, call us tomorrow night.
Yeah, definitely.
Joa does not have to be
here. Yeah,
on the
I don't
show.
Have to be here. Actually, I want auditors to call in every night.
Always happy to hear from
Because something
people.
Happens every day in the auditing community. We all want
tell
to hear
the story.
About it.
Yeah, tell us
Absolutely.
The story. Happy to hear about it. Thank you, Carlos,
for
the call, though. We do have to keep to that one rule because I just want to make sure we have room for it.
He's just trying to win that goal. But you know what? He has a good topic, so you're up there. I mean, it's
He's
only you
running.
And one other guy.
He's in the running, for sure.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
I'm just not going to announce who wins.
Yeah, I like to say, well, it's too early. We got to have another hour plus to go here. So, you know what? Since we're talking about the banking situation, I do have Peter St. Ange weighing in on what's been going on. He's been following this thing pretty closely at Prof. St. Ange on Twitter. Here is his update.
Just hours after Fed Chairman Jerome Powell told America the, quote, U.S. banking system is sound and resilient, it fell off a cliff as major regional lender PacWest collapsed over 50% in aftermarket. And so, paired with the collapse of First Republic last weekend, by assets, the 2023 bank collapse has now officially exceeded the 2008 collapse, with apparently a lot more to come from this very sound and resilient banking system of ours. Even the bottom feeders are slinking off as Toronto Dominion, Canada's second biggest bank, just scrapped plans to buy First Horizon out of Memphis, putting First Horizon and its $80 billion in deposits on the hospice list.
Oof. TD Bank. Which is huge on the East Coast. Probably any West Coast listeners don't know about it, but it is a Canadian bank that is one of the biggest on the East Coast. It's in major cities. It's all over the place. And they were going to apparently buy this $80 billion regional bank, and now they have backed out.
Who was
buying that?
The parasite guy he was quoting said that the banking is strong or whatever. He said that right in the beginning. Jerome Powell,
that is the head of the Federal Reserve.
So anytime any of these guys banker type, and he is a Jerome Powell. I would call him a bankster. Mm-hmm. He is like the head gangster over there. Actually, we don't really know who the head gangsters are of these banksters. Jerome Powell is actually just a front man.
Yeah, he's a front fall guy.
He's a PR guy. There's a really good, you guys remember Brett Vanat, School
Brett.
Sucks podcast.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Anyways, he did one of his podcasts years ago that is one of my favorite. He talks about Fed speak and double speak, and he has on there who Alan Greenspan, and Alan Greenspan, you know, says a comment, and he's like, the New York Times said it this way, and the Washington Post got it exactly this way. He's like, that was my job. That's what I had to do. And they called it Fed speak.
Mm.
And anyways, anytime any of these guys say something to the public and to the people, and Jim Cramer, he's another real good one to follow. Whatever he says, the exact opposite. If you look at his history, he's like, oh, Lehman Brothers is very strong. They're not going to fall.
And
a week later, the collapse. Yeah. So the same thing with the last few things has been going on.
Yeah, he said that about First Republic Bank 2 months ago.
Yeah, so these guys are pumping, you know, all this stuff. Whatever these guys say that go on TV where the TV channel is financed by Pfizer, mm-hmm. they're a liar.
Yeah, they call it the inverse Cramer rule, I think, is what they say about that guy. The First Horizon Bank that TD was supposed to buy, it's down 33% today, by the way.
Ouch.
Its shares plunging 52% on the day. As I mentioned the other day, what's scary here is that going by 2008, the early collapses are only the beginning. The screaming prelude to an extinction-level culling of banks crawling off to die. In raw numbers, the 25 U.S. banks that collapsed in 2008 were followed by a drumbeat totaling 440 banks in the following 4 years. That's 110 per year compared to 2 per year pre-crisis. So we haven't even begun to see what's coming. The other day I mentioned interest rate hikes typically take 12 to 18 months to really hit the economy, and we're barely 6 months in. So lining up against the 2008 crisis implies the real storm is not even hitting for another year.
Oof.
These are the first breezes of a coming hurricane, and yet here we are. Meanwhile, we've got an article today from London's Financial Times by Krishna Guha. He's former executive VP of the New York Fed. That's the part of the Fed that actually runs the show. Saying European banks could be in serious trouble given they face the exact same problems U.S. banks do, thanks to the European Central Bank running the exact same playbook the Fed did. Hike till it breaks, pray for a miracle. In fact, the EU is even more dependent on regular banks, given their shriveled non-bank sector. By some measures, banks are almost twice as big relative to their economies. And going by 2008, those banks are in even worse shape than U.S. banks.
We're going to continue here with your calls and thoughts. Welcome as hour number 3 kicks off in mere moments. Plus, we got Jay's 16 reasons why every kid should have a horse or some kind of farm animal. We'll get into that. Plus, Joe comments on Russia and the bombing there coming up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.